It has been quite a few weeks of headlines from November 13th with the Paris attacks, and even prior to that with the Russian jet being shot down over Egypt. All of these things connected to ISIS. What is next as the French president tries to build a coalition to fight that violence? I've asked one of our friends, an expert in international politics and national security, Professor Joshua Rovner from Southern Methodist University, to give us some insight. Hi, Professor Rovner. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Great. It's great to have you back. Lots of headlines. Let's start with France trying to build this coalition to deal with ISIS. Where does that stand? I know he last week was visiting Angela Merkel in Germany and the Russian president and our president. Where are things?
Well, as you say, President Hollande is furiously trying to assemble an international coalition to accelerate the war against ISIS. And he's been meeting with world leaders, especially Putin and Merkel and U.S. leaders as well. The problem is that he's going to have the same problems that the U.S. faced, which is that while everybody has a reason to fight ISIS, everybody also has a reason to pass the buck to somebody else. There are big fissures within the coalition among countries that might otherwise come together for this fight. And frankly, a long-term war in the middle of Syria and Iraq is not something that anybody is really enthusiastic about. So while there is a short-term bump in international support for more aggressive action against ISIS, I don't know how long it's going to last or whether the partners in the coalition will be happy about going along with it.
Well, and it sounds like a lot of the sticking point, at least for the United States and Russia, as that pertains to France, is that they can't really agree on what to do with President Assad in Syria.
Correct. Yeah, and this is a long-term problem. The United States' official policy has been to pursue regime change in Syria, but others who might usefully come together against ISIS don't want that. And the real sticking point is Russia. Russia views Assad as an important ally. He's really their only ally left in the Middle East. And Russia is fighting very, very hard to protect Assad. So that puts Russia at odds with the United States and others who would like to see Assad gone. It also creates very, very interesting and dangerous dynamics between Russia and Turkey, as we've seen just this week. Russia is fighting very hard to protect Assad, and Turkey is supporting groups that are trying to undermine him. So the coalition, which, as I said, might otherwise come together against ISIS, is so riven with internal problems that it's going to be very hard for Hollande or anybody to keep this coalition together.
So one of the things, Professor Rovner, that I'm curious about is, as you know, we are looking at dealing with ISIS, there's also a lot of discord in the United States about really not wanting to put ground troops out there in harm's way. And then we've got a presidential race going on, and you hear a lot of candidates saying, hey, we've got to put ground troops out there. So who's right?
I think that everybody, all of the candidates, seem to be lining up against for some stronger military action in Iraq and perhaps in Syria as well, including putting ground troops into Iraq. The problem is that for the majority of Americans, that's not a very attractive option. Despite ISIS, the idea of sending large numbers of Americans is not going to sell. So we're stuck. And what you're seeing is sort of halfway responses. For instance, Hillary Clinton saying that we need to do more, and that might need to include ground troops, but she's really emphasizing sending arms and lethal aid to Kurds and Sunni, who we can support. That answer is, it sounds good, but for various reasons, it actually creates potentially more problems for the United States. Once you start getting in the business of arming locals to fight your wars for them, it's tough to control them. It's tough to make sure they're doing what you think they should be doing, and you're stuck with essentially unreliable proxies. So while there is a lot of understandable talk about increasing U.S. efforts, there's also going to be resistance to that. People are not going to want to really get involved in another big shooting war in the Middle East. The other thing I will say in defense of the administration is that it's come under intense criticism for focusing on air power. But air power has really hurt ISIS. Right? And people aren't focusing on this enough. ISIS has lost badly in the last year. They've lost about a quarter of the territory they previously controlled. They've lost cities like Tikrit and Sinjar recently. They are being pushed back, and they're increasingly isolated in what are essentially garrison outposts for ISIS. So air power is taking a toll on this group. It hasn't given an emotionally satisfying victory, right? ISIS still exists. It's not wiped out. But it is having an effect, and it's having an effect at pretty low risk and low cost to the United States.
Professor Rovner, you know, all different outlets are covering this. I've got my Twitter feed up, and Kara Levin here in the Twin Cities just tweeted, Islamic State defections mount as death toll rises.
Yeah.
And what's your take on that?
Well, there are defections. The more we learn about what's going on within Syria and Iraq, the more it looks like ISIS has a real problem. Not only are they facing increasing defections, but they've had to evacuate cities. They evacuated Sinjar without a fight, which was sort of surprising given the amount of preparations they had done in that city. There are reports that they are moving ISIS leaders out of Raqqa, which is essentially their de facto capital. And it's a matter of their very nasty style of government. It's probably no fun living under ISIS rule. It's also the fact that they're probably going broke, that they had relied on smuggling oil out, but because of very low oil prices, they're not getting as much money as they used to be. And because they claim to be a state, right? They call themselves the Islamic State. That means they're supposed to be responsible for public services, which they probably can't afford to do, or at least not at a very high level. So for all of these reasons, ISIS is getting weaker internally. Now, that doesn't mean they can't pull off terrorist attacks, right? Terrorism is a weapon of the weak. Even very small groups can kill civilians if they really, really want to.
And that's the whole definition, right, of terrorism. Yep. Really quickly, in our short time left with you, I always ask you, what should we as Americans, what's the practical, kind of like, what's the so what factor on this? What should we be doing and thinking about as we read the headlines moving forward?
That's a great question. There's two things that Americans should be doing. One is to taking a serious look at what is the real threat of terrorism, right? The attacks in Paris were shocking and terrible, to be sure, but the threat of terrorism remains quite limited versus the threat of being killed or injured in other ways. You're much more at risk from somebody texting while driving than you are to being hit by ISIS.
Sad but true.
And the other thing is to think hard about what the acceptable outcome is for the United States in Syria and Iraq. Rather than just saying we must fight them harder because we must destroy them, think hard about what is something that we can accept. Because whatever outcome happens in this part of the world, it's not going to be pretty. So the question is, what can we live with?
All right. Well, thank you so much. As always, Professor Joshua Rovner from Southern Methodist University. Great information, great insight. I appreciate you spending part of Thanksgiving holiday weekend with us.